I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck as expertise-based business owners that just never seem to have enough time. Would you like to learn how you can generate more leads without struggling to deliver your services to the clients you already have? What if you were taught how to step out of your comfort zone to leverage tools like podcasts, social media, and video in order to constantly bring in leads, sales, and keep your pipeline full? And what if you knew how to hire the right talent that'll help you scale your business and create greater value without being so hands-on? Join our free Smashing the Plateau community, where listeners and guests of Smashing the Plateau connect, collaborate, and learn how to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life. Go to www.smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Whitney Nicely. Whitney went from no investments or strategies to 19 houses, 19 apartment units, and 7 chunks of land in less than 3 years, all bringing monthly money to her bank account on autopilot. She's traveled the United States speaking on stages, teaching her simple strategies, and meeting with other successful real estate investors, and still buying houses the way she teaches others. Whitney is a dog mom to Abby the Labby, 130 pounds of loving fur, wifey to Jason East, an apartment investor, stepmom to Gavin, age 12, and Harrison, age 10. Since 2016, Whitney has led and trained hundreds of future real estate rock stars to grow their portfolios, collect checks, and achieve financial freedom. Hundreds of real estate newbies are securing leads, signing deals, and scaling their dream incomes through the First Deal Done Fast program. Whitney, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to our discussion. So, Whitney, why would someone want to invest in real estate?
Well, real estate creates passive income, and it's not a fad. A lot of things that we talk about are, 50 years old, 10 years old, some of them just, 3 or 4 years old. But real estate has been around for decades, centuries. I mean, since Jesus was here, people have been invested in real estate. It's not going anywhere.
That's true. Land has always been around. The earth has been here.
Yep. And people have been buying and selling little chunks of it ever since the beginning of time.
And what made you decide that real estate was for you?
My mom has always been a real estate investor. And I always saw those checks come in at the beginning of the month. And I was in my 20s, though, before I was like, wait a second, why don't I have any checks that come in at the beginning of the month? And my mom said, well, you got to go buy something first. So, this would have been a great time for her to say, oh, well, let's talk about Robert Kiyosaki and let's talk about cash flow and let's talk about generational wealth. And no. My mom basically said, go figure it out. So I did. And I bought land when I started because I didn't have $100,000 to get started. And that's what most people think is you need a big chunk of change, but you don't. The first piece of property I bought was $1,200.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable. So what traits do you think it takes to be able to do well as a real estate investor?
You need to be persistent and you need to really have a goal, because a lot of people say, well, I want to buy some homes. Yeah, but and one thing I do is I don't buy homes. I buy houses. I buy inventory. I buy sticks and bricks that are strategically placed, right? Homes are where people live and they love it. I buy things that people don't love anymore. And so I buy houses. So that's one of the first distinctions. You have to realize that you're just buying inventory, not a piece of somebody's soul. So you have to be clear on your goals and know, do you want 5 houses? Do you want them to be 2-bedroom, 1-bath? Do you want them to be 5-bedroom, 4-bath on the lake? Like, you need to be really specific about what kinds of houses or what kind of property you want to buy. And then you need to know how much money you want to make from these things, because you could go buy a house and lose money. Well, that's not what you want to do. You want to be able to make money. So you need to be persistent in looking for what you want in your goals. And, you know, that comes with a little bit of patience to not do a deal just to get one done, but to actually wait on a good deal that's really going to fit what you want long term.
How many deals did you turn down before you bought your first piece of land for $1,200?
I bought that piece at an auction, and I've been going to auctions since I was in middle school, just kind of watching and hanging out and learning. And I finally decided that, you know, mom told me to go figure it out. So I started paying more attention when I was at these auctions. And when I was at this one particular auction, everything was selling for $500 or $1,000 or, you know, $5,000. And I thought, well, shoot, maybe I should buy something. And so I raised my hand and bought something. So I let probably 2 hours go by watching really good deals get sold to other people before I raised my hand. But before that, I had years of watching deals go by. And eventually, you've got to jump in and get started.
Right. And did you make money on your first deal?
No, I still have that one. I bought it. It was actually at a foreclosure auction. The woman that had it before me had agreed to get a mortgage for $69,000, and she stopped making the payments on that property. So I picked it up at the auction for $1,200. But, you know, going through that and saying, hot dog, I really got something here, it encouraged me to go out and try to find more property that I could buy at auction. So the second piece I bought, I paid $1,500 for it. And I do make money on that one, I'm proud to say. I've got this half acre piece of industrial land, and I rent the driveway for $250 a month. And then I rent the land for $500 a month. So I make $750 a month off of $1,500 initial investment. And I've had it for 3 years.
Okay, not bad. Not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah. So what do you encourage people to do to get started like you did?
Really start small. I mean, I didn't borrow $50,000 and go try to flip a house. I started because I like to learn. I like to go through the process. I'm kind of a trial and error kind of learner. And so I needed to go through a closing. I needed to put my money where my mouth was and see what I could make happen. And then from there, you know, I did these two pieces of land, and I did some other land deals also. And then I got into houses. And when you start small with $1,200 or $1,500, then you just start adding zeros and commas. But the process is going to be the same. The deal structure, the negotiating, it can all be the same. And I jumped into, you know, some bigger deals with houses to make more money. But that's when I started, well, I actually went broke trying to get rich in real estate. And I had to figure out a different way to get into real estate without using my own money. And that's when things got really fun.
Okay, well, let's talk about your experience going broke. What happened?
I did, you know, my mom, when she was investing, she would always just save up some money, go buy whatever she could, rent it out, and eventually she'd make her money back. She had no plans. She had no strategies. She was just throwing spaghetti against the wall. And she was the only investor I knew, so that was the only way that I was learning how to invest. So I tried that. I bought those two pieces of land, and then I bought a house, and I was out of money, like completely broke. But I found another house that I wanted to buy, and I couldn't figure out how to, you know, I didn't want to go to the bank. Mom didn't teach me to go to the bank and get money. So what I did was I went and told my brother that he was going to be my partner, and I took all of his life savings and bought the second house. But then we turned around, and we had two houses and two pieces of land, and we were making some money, but it was going to take us like 115 years to make enough money that we were going to get paid back and make enough that we wouldn't have to work anymore. Well, 115 years is way too long. So I was literally eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner at my mom's house because I didn't have money to go out with my girlfriends and eat dinner. I didn't have, you know, money to go on trips. Like, I was really stressed out, completely broke, trying to figure out what I'd gotten myself into. And I joined the Real Estate Investors Association. And so you want to be around people who are where you want to be, right?
Right.
I'd tapped out my mom's resources. She couldn't help me anymore. So I had to get around real, real big real estate investors and figure out what kind of plans and strategies and systems they had to make this thing work, because I was going nowhere on my plan. And that's when I got introduced to lease options. So you could buy houses without putting any money in it. And that hit so many, you know, nerves with me, because I was out of money, but I still wanted to buy stuff. And they did a special presentation on lease options one Thursday night, and I went to it. It was $75 to go. I remember telling the president that I didn't have $75 to go to this event. And he said, Whitney, you're going to love it. And if you don't learn anything, I'll give you your $75 back. So I thought, all right, old man, I can handle this. So I went, and within 15 minutes, I was so in love with what the gentleman up front was speaking on. I pledged $3,000 that I didn't have on a credit card, jumped all in, way over my head. And at the end of my very first deal, I made $15,000. So lease options work. And that was my life raft to get back up on top.
Yeah. You know, I'm intrigued by what you've described, tapping into knowledge that peers have in order to basically help you learn something new and work your way out of a pickle.
Absolutely. And a lot of people look at this and they would say, well, you're out of money. Why would you try to learn something new? Why don't you just figure it out? Well, the way to get out of something is to learn from other people. You can't figure it all out on your own, at least not in a time frame that's going to help you get out of this pickle. You know, it could have taken me 5, 6, 8 years to learn what I learned in 3 months. And those 3 months turned my whole life around. That event that I went to the very first time from the Nocturia was in November of 2013. And by the end of November 2014, I'd completed 14 deals and made like over $135,000 because I jumped in to learn more than what I was learning on my own.
And did you find people in that Real Estate Investors Association that you ended up doing some work with in addition to learning from?
No, not really, because their market where they wanted to invest, where they wanted to do deals, was not where I wanted to be. My honey hole was probably an hour away from where everybody else was doing deals and trying to make money. And I think that's one of the reasons that I was so successful so fast is they were all competing against each other to buy these houses and do these projects and all this stuff. I was out kind of playing, you know, in a sandbox by myself. I didn't have any competition. I was the only one making offers to all these sellers. And that is a huge boost in confidence. Why would you want to compete against, you know, the good old boys club and people with really deep pockets when you're trying to, you know, be kind of lean and mean?
That's a really interesting point, Whitney. So for listeners, whether they're in the real estate business or in any other business, the point of finding your niche, because you clearly did that, and B, finding a spot in the market where there isn't as much direct competition as in other spots in the market. How do you find those two key elements?
Well, the first thing that I teach my students to do when we're trying to find their honey hole is, where in your area, where in your town, where is the regentrification? Where are all the building permits? Where is everybody going? Where's the hot spot in town to be flipping and investing and renting and all of that? And most people can immediately think of a suburb or a little chunk of town or, you know, some little name of something, and they can immediately think of where that is. And then I say, okay, and then where do you live? And most of the time they don't live there. Okay, well, between where you live and where that is, what's on the direct opposite end of town so that you would be going away from the flow? I don't want you to go where everybody else is. I want you to run an opposite direction, closer to your house, but still maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour towards the country, towards another little small establishment. A little small town that's fine and it has good people and it has amazing prospects, but it's not the hot market. Those people are going to work with you a lot faster and your transactions are going to be a lot smoother if you'll get out of trying to compete against everybody else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So that answers the question about how to find where there might be a hole in the marketplace. How do you also find your sweet spot in a particular kind of business like you did?
Well, I started talking to everybody I could. And the people who were, because I buy houses without cashing out, without doing mortgages, without going to a bank. And the people who would listen to me and work with me ended up being two different kinds of people. They were tired landlords, so they'd been maybe accidental landlords where they hadn't planned on becoming a landlord, or they had been a landlord for 10 or 20 years and they were just tired of dealing with tenants and toilets. Tired landlords love my strategy. They love my style. And when you can find a person, regardless of what house they're attached to, when you find a person, you can grow from there. So when you're looking for a place to start, you need to find people that you can talk to and people that will work with you. The second group of people that I found that really liked what I was offering were people that inherited properties and they didn't live in this small town anymore. You know, they may have grown up in Knoxville or Jefferson City or Dandridge or wherever I was working, but now they lived in Nashville, they lived in Atlanta, they lived in Texas, they lived clear out in California. They didn't care. They didn't want to come back to this house. This house was a pain. They were paying property taxes on it and not getting any money from it. They loved my solution. So those two people, and they come in all shapes and sizes, but they have those two problems where they just have a house they don't want. And when you can find those people to work with, because, you know, a lot of times, no matter what your business is, you think, I'm going to help everybody. No. We need to find one specific person or maybe two people that we can help. And by helping those two people and talking directly to them, we can help tons of those people.
That's a great tip. Listeners, I hope you're enjoying our show today. There are lots of struggles that business owners, particularly solopreneur or small business owners like Whitney, struggle with. And if you join our free Smashing the Plateau community on Facebook, you'll get exclusive step-by-step training from guests of the show and from other successful entrepreneurs. You can go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. Whitney, I think it's really interesting that you're talking about not only how you identify a fairly narrow area to get started, but finding people that you can resonate with in order to do business for that initial niche that you're going to try to tackle, and making sure that there's some commonality between the kinds of people that you're identifying that you want to help and yourself. And I suspect there probably is some synergy in values in addition to identifying a specific problem that you can solve.
Yes, there is. You know, most of the time when I'm talking to people, they're valuing their time. And this property is dragging on their soul. You know, they don't have time to enjoy their family because they feel like they're supposed to be over this property doing something with it. So when I can take that problem away, I can give them their time back. I can give them sometimes their marriage back. Like, we're talking about big money situations, and money is what a lot of people argue about in their marriage. So if I can take that away and solve that problem, suddenly they love their spouse more because now they're not fighting with them over this problem. So they value their time, they value their relationships, and, you know, they really appreciate me coming in and taking this problem away from them and giving them their life back.
Right. So you're clearly listening to how the people that you want to serve, how they feel about what they're struggling with.
Yes. And I really take the time. I teach my students to really take the time and make sure it's a relationship. We're not in and out and done. Okay. This isn't a quick solution. This is a relationship that with somebody. And so the more that we can listen to them instead of preach to them, the further we're going to get into this relationship and the more likely we're going to be to make a lot more money on this one little deal. And also, you know, a lot of times people in real estate, because I'm a broker, I'm an auctioneer, and, you know, I was taught that we need to talk to thousands and thousands of people all the time, marketing, marketing, marketing. And that didn't suit me because I also had a life to live. I had other things that I wanted to do besides just be on the phone cold calling people all the time. So I figured out if I could talk to this one person or these two types of people, I only needed to talk to five or eight of them every week to keep my pipeline full, which is a lot easier to do than trying to talk to 200 people a day. You know, my sellers really appreciate me taking the time up front to know what their problem is. And most people skip that.
That makes sense. Whitney, in addition to your learning through the Real Estate Investors Association, what have been some of the most transformational kinds of help that you have received in your journey as a leader and an entrepreneur?
I had a mentor when I first started. I paid for a mentor, and with my first deal, I got my mentor money back. So I had a free mentor for like the next 5 months. And that was completely, pivotal. Like, I could not have done everything I did if I hadn't had somebody to talk to every single week to keep me, you know, to keep my mind in the game, to help me, you know, bust through some, you know, personal mindset issues and some, you know, questions that my sellers had, because I had never done this. And I was going out and telling people that I could help them, but I had never done it. And so having that mentor, I know having the mentor is what really got me where I ended up going. And then, you know, since then, I hire mentors, coaches, guides, group sessions. I love to be around like-minded people, because where I am, there's not a lot of people trying to, you know, buy and sell 5-10 houses. There's not a lot of people trying to make $100,000 a month. So I have to stay surrounded by people with my same goals. And I gladly pay for that, because I can't get that in my regular, you know, day-to-day life.
That makes sense. So, Whitney, if you had to boil it down to maybe a very small number of actionable steps that you have used in to build and grow your business, what would they be? And before you answer that question, I'm going to ask you to hold off, because,
okay.
Because we're going to release this answer inside our Smashing the Plateau community on Facebook. So again, the place to join that is smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. So what I do want to ask you right now, Whitney, is can you talk a little bit about how you, now that you're established, how do you help others who want to follow in your footsteps?
Well, the system that I teach is really simple, but sometimes the simple things are what we really mess up with. And so I help people learn how to create these conversations in the grocery store, in the bank, in Sunday school, at kids' ball practices. Everybody you talk to is a lead source. And so I really help my people start to recognize all the opportunities that are surrounding them all day, every single day. And once you can, you know, have your eyes open to the possibilities that are out there, you know that you can take this and run with it. And that's really what I help people do, is really open their eyes, and that it doesn't have to be complicated and it doesn't have to be hard. It can be fun, and it can be, I won't say easy, but it can be strategic. And that's the best thing that I help people do, is create these conversations, start these relationships, and get their deals done fast.
Right. And I think actually that's a lesson that anybody in any kind of small business can take away from this conversation, which is anytime you're in a conversation with somebody, that person could actually be a lead source, because everybody has a circle of people that they know, and chances are that somebody in their circle may need what it is that you offer in your business. So whether it's, whether you're in real estate investment or any other kind of business, I think that's actually a great takeaway from this conversation.
Absolutely. And I help people really get their perfect one-liner. So I work with them to draw their story out, their why do they want to be a real estate investor? And then we talk about who, what, when, why, and where of people that they can help. And when you can get all of that into a 30-second, you know, elevator pitch, you'll be surprised at how many more opportunities start flowing to you, because you know how to pick up on pain points. People start to learn that you are the person that they can confess their, you know, real estate sins to. And everybody knows somebody that either hates their landlord or hates their tenants. So if you can start to have those conversations, you'll start to find a lot more tired landlords.
Great point. Now, Whitney, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
I am Okay. I am a broker in Tennessee, and in Knoxville, Tennessee, there's a lady named Holly McCray, and she is the number one broker in the whole state of Tennessee. She's absolutely amazing. She went from being new here in Knoxville to being the number one broker in like less than 10 years. Like, she's absolutely amazing. And she's also an investor. She flips houses. She rents houses. She does amazing things. She's partnered with Barbara Corcoran on some projects, and I absolutely adore her. And she's actually speaking at an event that I'm having here in a couple weeks.
Sounds great. Sounds like a remarkable person. And what can we look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up for you, Whitney?
I am releasing a mastermind for 2018, and it's going to be people that are already established in their real estate business. So you can either come in through my First Deal Done Fast program and get a couple deals done and then graduate into the mastermind, or you can come in and say, you know what, Whit, I'm already a landlord, or I've already done a bunch of deals. I'm ready to get to those $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 months and out of, you know, these $10,000, $15,000 months. So we're smashing the plateau into bigger and greater and starting to really knock on the door to six-figure months instead of years.
That sounds great. Good for you. And how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
You can go to my website, WhitneyNicely.com. I also have a free ebook that you can sign up to get if you go to GetYourFirstDeal.com.
Sounds great. Well, Whitney, thanks so much for joining us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a remarkable conversation about what you've done in your business and how you help others. My guest today has been Whitney Nicely, the president of Whitney Buys Houses. Thank you again, Whitney, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion today. To get Whitney's answer to my bonus question, join our free Smashing the Plateau community on Facebook, where all the practical tips that our guests share in this show will be there waiting for you to sift through and implement in your own business. Our community focuses on the three pillars of Smashing the Plateau, particularly in an expertise-based business. Our exclusive trainings help you uncover how to generate leads, how to scale your business by hiring the right talent, and how to step out of your comfort zone to leverage new tools like podcasts, social media, and video to fill your pipeline. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. We want you to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life.